scripture, he hideth himself with light like a garment. And I love to just try to picture that. He takes a robe of light and covers himself with it. That's glorious. I've entitled the message for this evening, The King Before Pilate. And I would like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 for just a moment. I don't know if you've ever noticed this verse, but this verse gives us some idea of the significance of this transaction between the Lord Jesus and Pontius Pilate. Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, if you and I are interested in what a good confession is, here it is in the Lord and what he said and what he didn't say to Pilate. Now, who was Pontius Pilate? He was the Rome-appointed governor of Judea under the reign of Caesar Tiberius, and his name will forever be associated with infamy because of his role in the crucifixion of Christ. I think it's interesting how he tried to get Christ off the hook, so he thought. Couldn't be done. But he said, why do you want to crucify this just person? And he ended up washing his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. But was he? No. He was complicit in what took place. It's true, the Lord said to him that the scribes and the elders had greater guilt than he did, but he was still complicit in this. Now, Pilate was a savvy politician. Look in verse 9 of Mark chapter 15. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. You see, Pilate had a long history with the Jews. As a matter of fact, you can read about some of the conflicts between Pilate and the Jews in the Jewish historian Josephus. They were at odds quite often, and Pilate really despised the Jews. You can see that by what he did, but he is still bound to make his constituents happy. He did what he did to content them and to satisfy them. And he was actually torn over this. In Matthew's account, his wife sent him a message during these proceedings saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things in a dream because of him. Look in Matthew chapter 27 for a moment. We're going to look at different parts of the account in Matthew chapter 27, verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing. And that word prevail is profit or benefit nothing from this. He saw that this was a no-win situation for him. No win. No benefit to him. It was a no-win situation for him politically. Look in Luke chapter 23. Verse 1. And when the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, here's the accusation they brought before Pilate, we found this. And look at the way the word fellow is in italics. It's basically saying we found this zero. He's not even worthy to be given a name. We found this nothing, perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now that obviously bothered Pilate, because that puts him in, not in reality, he wasn't any competition with Caesar, but in Pilate's mind, that puts him in competition with Caesar. And Pilate knew that that could get him in trouble. And they're saying he told the people not to give taxes to the Roman government. For one thing, that was a lie. He never did that. As a matter of fact, he taught them to do that. But this is the accusation they brought against him, thinking that that would help their cause. Look in John chapter 19. Verse 12. And from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him. I mean, he gave every effort that he could to make sure that he didn't go to the cross. He sought to release him. It's not going to work because that's God's purpose. But he sought to release him. He knew this was a just man. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And Pilate knew it would be political suicide for him to let this go on. Look in verse 6 of chapter 19. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. You all need to deal with this. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. This man says he is the Son of God without a natural father, equal to God. And the only way you can be equal to God is to be God. Verse 8, then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. He didn't know what he had on his hands. He had some kind of respect and fear of the Lord Jesus. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee? You know, I love the fact that that's something the Lord could not leave alone. Jesus answered. He speaks here. Thou couldst have no power at all over me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. I turn back to Mark chapter 15. Verse 1, and straightway in the morning, after he had been mistreated all night long, abused physically all night long, in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now that is obviously their chief accusation. He wasn't being arrested for healing people. He wasn't being arrested for feeding people. He wasn't being arrested for the miracles he performed that only God could do. He was arrested for this: King of the Jews. And you know, he is the King of the Jews, isn't he? I'm a Jew. He's my King. The King of the Jews. I think it's so interesting that over his cross, Pilate had placard, and he did this because he hated the Jews. He did this trying to irritate them. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And it was written in Hebrew, the language of the religious. It was written in Latin, the language of the educated. It was written in Greek, the language of the common man. And they all had the same message: Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus, King of the Jews. And they said to Pilate, "Write not King of the Jews, but that he saith, I'm the King of the Jews." Pilate, just to dig it in a little deeper, said, "What I've written stays written." He was doing this to get at the Jews. Now, in all four accounts, it's pointed out how when the accusations were brought against the Lord before Pilate, he remained silent. He didn't reply. Why? Well, let me give you two reasons. More could be given, but here are two reasons. Scripture said he would remain silent. That's enough, isn't it? Scripture said he would remain silent. But this is what amazes me. He didn't defend himself because he was numbered with transgressors. And he was guilty. And I think of that scripture in Romans 3:19, where it says, "We know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God." At that time, the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ was stopped because he was guilty. He was guilty. Understand, he did not merely bear the punishment of our sin. And I say that merely in a way that was an awesome thing in of itself. But he bore the guilt of the sin because he bore the sin itself, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Crucified between two thieves. Now the Gospel of John gives us the most detail with regard to Christ's good confession before Pontius Pilate. So I'd like us to spend the remainder of our time in John. Would you begin in John chapter 18? Verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, I think the irony there is amazing. We're getting ready to murder the Son of God, but we don't want to get defiled. And here's another reason why Pilate despised these people. They were saying, "We're not going to come around you because we'd be defiled." You know what they were saying by that? "We're better than you." And you know that irritated Pilate. That just got at him because he saw the hypocrisy of these people. He saw the envy of these people. And it irritated him that they would We don't want to be defiled so we can eat the Passover. Pilate then, verse 29, went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, a criminal, a menace to society, an evil man, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. I'm not going to have anything to do with this. You guys do what you want. Go to the scriptures. Find out what you need to do with him. I'm not having anything to do with this. The Jews therefore said unto him, it's not lawful for us to put any man to death. And you know why they said that? Here's exactly why they said that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. You see, he said, if I be lifted up, crucified, I will draw all men to me. You see, the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He's going to have to hang on a tree. And this is God's purpose. They didn't realize this, but that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Die on a cross by Roman crucifixion. Then Pilate, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? This is what they're accusing you of. And I love what the Lord says. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself? Is this what you believe? Or did others tell it to thee? Do you merely have second-hand information? And I want to ask myself that question with regard to what I hang my hope on. Is it just something somebody told me? Or is it something that I, by the grace of God, believe? Then Pilate answered him, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom. He has a kingdom. Is not of this world. Now I wish all political activism in the name of religion would hear this statement. The Lord said, my kingdom, it's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? You said it. Are you a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am king. Literally, it is as you said. I am king. To this end was I born, to be king. Now remember, this is his good confession before Pilate. For this purpose was I born. He was born king of the Jews. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. The verb form of the noun king is reign. Now here's my question. Who is reigning? Right now. who is reigning. Now, the universal hiss of humanity is we will not have this man reign over us. He is reigning over you. Whether you like it or not. Now, I like it. All of his people love that. But he is reigning. And you and I have no choice, no say. He cannot be impeached. The sovereignty. It's in the word sovereignty. The sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings, and he was not voted into office. God said, "Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion." I love that time in John chapter 6 when they came and tried to make him a king by force. You know what he did? He left them. Why? He already was king. These people can't make him king any more than you can make him king or I can make him king. He is the eternal king. Psalm 97:1 says, "The Lord reigneth." That means he's king. "Let the earth rejoice." Does that make you rejoice? That he reigns right now in absolute sovereign control of everything and everybody. Psalm 99:1 says, "The Lord reigneth." Let the people tremble. I fear this God. Not the fear of unbelief, but the fear of reverence and awe. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. Psalm 96:10 says, "Say ye to the heathen, the Lord reigneth." Now, you know what the unbeliever needs to hear? The Lord reigneth. And tell them what that means. The Lord reigneth. Somebody says, "Won't you make Jesus the Lord of your life?" You can't do that. He is the Lord of your life. Now, you may see this in a willing way or an unwilling way, but it doesn't make any difference in this sense. He is Lord. The scripture says he's Lord of the dead and the living. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52. Hold your finger there in John 18. Turn to Isaiah 52. Verse 7. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion," what? "Thy God reigneth." Back to John 18. Pilate said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" "It is as you said, I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And what is the truth? He is king. He is king. He does reign. He reigns over everybody and everything. Now, they were all concerned about him claiming to be Caesar's king. Oh, he was Caesar's king. And he's Biden's king, and he's Putin's king, and he's the guy in North Korea's king. He's everybody's king. Always has been, always will be. He is king, and he came to bear witness to the truth that he is king. Now, he's the eternal king. You see, he's always been king. He didn't begin to be king at any time. He's always been king. When he lived as a king. Now, I want you to think about how little control you have over yourself. Your emotions, your thoughts, your actions. All we, there's no excuse for it, but it's the fact. I don't know anybody that rules over themselves, but he did perfectly. He never sinned. He lived as a king, keeping God's law perfectly. He died as a king. Do you know death couldn't even take him until he gave it permission? He was raised as a king. I love to think of, I think it's glorious. The Lord didn't let anyone see this, but he himself in the tomb when the Lord opened his eyes. Nobody there to witness it but his Father. And he was raised from the dead as a king, and as a king, every believer was justified as soon as he was raised. He walked out of that tomb as a king. He ascended back into glory as a king. He rules and reigns right now as a king. And when he comes back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the King shall come in his glory, that's the way he describes it, with all of his holy angels with him. Now, his good confession, and this is our confession, this is the issue. Who's king? This is the issue. Who reigns? Who has absolute control? For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth, that's the elect. Just make it simple. That's the elect. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice, that I'm king. And they bow and they love my kingship. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And I have no doubt, I've said this for years, I think this is so true. Here's what he meant by this. He meant, number one, is there even such a thing as truth? You know, a lot of people say, what's truth? You know, I mean, is there such a thing? And he meant, well, let's say there is truth. Can we know it? Can anyone actually know the truth? I mean, isn't that kind of presumptuous to say, I know the truth? Why, that's arrogant. You think you got some kind of corner on the truth? And he could have meant, and this is what I think he meant more than anything else, truth. This is all about truth. Is it worth all of this? Is it worth you dying over truth? What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they out again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber, and we're going to consider him, Lord willing, next Wednesday. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! They did so in jest and mocking, making fun of him. But never were truer words ever spoken. King of the Jews. King by the Father's decree. King by divine right. King by omnipotence. And these jests will one day be seen to be reality when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Some willingly, some unwillingly, but all will have the same confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man with the thorn-crowned crown, the blood coming down his face, beaten beyond recognition. Behold the man. I wish I could speak on that the way I ought to. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law that by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now, Pilate was scared to death at this time. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from henceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that, he knew this was a no-win situation. He brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment and seated in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. You know what that word means? High place. There is no higher place than Christ crucified. Higher than the heavens. What glory that he completely obeyed his Father's will. What glory that he completely saved his people from their sins. What glory that he completely let us know by his death who God is. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him, on either side, one Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. The issue always has been, who is Jesus Christ? The answer to this determines everything else. Only when I have him revealed to me for who he is will I see my sin and my need of him as my prophet to bring me the word of God. I have no hope except he bring me the word of God. I see my need for him as a priest to bring me to God, that I can't come without him bringing me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way I can come to the Father is by being in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when he comes to the Father, I do too. And I need him as the King, because it's as King that he has the ability to be my prophet and my priest. He has the ability to save me by his reign. Now here is the good witness, the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Are you King? It is as you said. I am King. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail him, blessed Jesus, for there's no word ear ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for our King. And Lord, we pray for grace that the King would save us, that the King would put away our sin, that the King would give us his righteousness, that the King would birth us by his Spirit, and that we will be enabled to witness before this world this confession that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.